Hey y'all, this is Kelly, and you're listening to And Now We Said It. This week we're going to be recapping the first half of the reunion for season two of The Real Housewives of New York. We got the pleasure of seeing Andy Cohen in his beautiful perm. As always, I'm joined by my lovely and hysterical co-host, Lainey, and she happens to be in studio with me today.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, hey, Lainey.
I kind of did a Dr. Nick there. Hi, everybody.
I always just want to be like, hi, just to annoy the fuck out of you. But I won't. How was your week? I feel like that's just the constant of our lives right now.
So Nespresso is having a 25% off sale on their machines.
Sponsor us?
So yeah.
Free promo.
So I bought myself one because it's been on my list of things that I really want for probably the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I bought the cheapest one, but
hey.
I'm really excited because it's still...
gets the job done. It's still fucking espresso.
I love a latte. Mm-hmm. And they're like $5-6 at Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks don't sponsor us. You're too fucking expensive.
I mean, I love Starbucks. Don't get me wrong.
I don't.
But I mean, like it to be a treat and not a necessity. Yes.
And I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to save money. Because I don't have a job that pays. So I've been making coffee at home, which is something I never did. A, because I'm not a fan of hot coffee. And B, I really like the caramel swirl at Dunkin'. Mm-hmm. And Dunkin's a lot cheaper than Starbucks, but
you're
still
paying like $3 for something adds, you can make
exactly
for like $1 at your house.
So I try to do it, like I said, like as a treat rather than daily. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I found, John helped me find a way to make it. He found this really good salted caramel syrup from Target, I believe. And then I add a little whipped cream on top because I usually drink it black with the flavoring. But I notice with this type of coffee, I need a little bit of cream. So I don't like cream.
You guys have, that's an espresso machine or does it make regular coffee?
It makes regular coffee. Okay. It's not an espresso. It does make...
It makes espresso.
Yes, and it has that weird foamer thing that he uses. I've never used it. I used to have
the
to.
Steamer?
Yeah, I used to have to do it, actually, when I was a server at Cask and Flagon, and I fucking hated it.
Cask and Flagon.
Cask and Flagon.
For some reason, I always call it the Cask and Flagon.
Cask and Flagon. I'm glad, not that I often reference it, but that's what I'm calling it from now on.
That place used to let me drink a lot when I was under 21.
That place used to let me drink a lot when I worked there. Like after, not while on shift.
I went in there and I used my sister's ID to get in there one time when we looked nothing alike. And she was also like two people in front of me. So we literally did the pass back.
I mean, the hosts are 16-year-old girls.
Right.
They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
But no, this was like on a Saturday night. The bouncer looked at it and like...
Oh, you're talking about in Boston too. I worked at the one in Marshfield.
Oh, I didn't know there was a second one.
I wouldn't say just, but I worked there in 2013, so... within the past 10, 15 years.
Okay. Yeah, but this bouncer, like, literally knew it wasn't me because my sister had just gone in and we looked nothing alike. But he made me spell her name and she has a super complicated first name. And
is there a lot of consonants?
It's Evangelia, so it's like Evangelia.
I actually know someone that named their child that.
Yeah, it's a terrible name. I feel bad for her.
Does she go by Eva?
She goes by Evan now. I think.
I mean, right. Not that you have much conversation with her.
But, yeah, so, like, fast forward, like, 2 hours into the night, I'm very drunk and going to the bathroom, and he goes, hey, I know that wasn't you. I go, if you let me in anyways, I love you. And I literally just grab his face and start making out with him.
Oh, my God. Part of me wishes I knew... not sober, Lainey, but part of me is really glad that I missed that version of you.
I would not. It's funny because people who didn't know me back then, they were like, "I think you're fine when you drink. I don't see a problem." For me, like if I could only just drink, I would probably be fine. I would probably still have some issues with it, but I would probably be fine if I only, like, drink beer at a bar, like, once a
week. Kind of like what I do.
Yeah.
Although I've narrowed down to not even once a week.
Right. But it's more, I got into heavier stuff, mm-hmm. and that was really the problem for me. But it's also, like, I just had so much other stuff going on, and I just had so much self-hatred that, I was an asshole when I was sober. Like, I was actually nice and fun to be around when I was drunk. So it meant I had to be drunk all the time
to
even be likable.
Yeah.
Because people really, I very rarely had people come up to me the night after a big drunk night and be like, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
A couple times, but not many.
Same. I think I tend to be more outgoing and I feel better about myself when I'm drinking. But I also know that A, alcoholism runs in my family.
Mm-hmm.
B, I started using it as a coping mechanism.
Yep.
And just as something to do. Because as adults, it's like hard to think of things you can do. Now, not so much. Now that I'm with John, there's a ton of things we do that don't involve alcohol.
Yeah.
But for a very long time, I was like, oh, let's go to dinner and have some drinks. Let's, you know. And even now, like my two of my girlfriends are taking me out to dinner on Sunday. And drinks for my birthday.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what it is. But that's a celebration.
Yeah.
And so John helped me see that, like, when I drink, I should drink for good reasons, not to cope.
Yeah. And
I think you realized that I was doing that a lot.
Yeah. I think I gently said a couple things to you.
Yes.
And listen, it's not my place to tell someone if they're an alcoholic. And it's certainly not my place. I've tried to save enough people in my life. I've learned that that's usually a giant mistake.
You're very well, at least with me, and I also receive things better than a lot of people, I think.
I think you do.
And I was on the cusp before that of, like, realizing it. Like, you definitely brought it up, and then when John brought it up, I was like, you know what? Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, and I think when we had the conversation, you actually asked me my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't just give it to you.
No. Although you do that.
Me? No, never. Never, not once in my life have I given an unsolicited opinion.
On the podcast that I'm on, it's called The Best Mediocre Morning Show. And I believe we go live. I mean, it's recorded, but I believe we go out on the 12th, although I could be wrong. So don't quote me on that. I'll put a little bit more information up. But part of my bio on the website is that, let me look it up. I can't look it up on my phone because you can only see the bios on the website for right now. But you're going to hear some clicking, people. I apologize. I really don't care that much.
Clicking? This is bullshit.
Oh, and we record because we're all over the place. So there's someone in LA, someone in Germany, someone in Toronto, and someone in Kentucky, and then me in Massachusetts.
You went past Germany too fast before I could go, oh, yeah?
He's actually on the German version of The Voice.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Apparently, was ist das?
Das Boot does not mean Das Boot. Blew my mind.
Wait, so, what do you mean Das Boot does not mean Das Boot?
Like, Das Boot, I always thought meant, like, chugging beer out of a boot. Because of the movie
didn't.
Beer Fest. Yes, because it was in the movie, and movies are historically correct. It doesn't mean that, everybody.
No, it really, I'm not going to tell anyone what it means.
It doesn't mean that.
No, it's,
okay.
You really didn't know.
Okay, all right, you know, I didn't. I'm not a German scholar.
Yeah, but they, like, go into it pretty heavily in history class.
Okay, do they? Because mine definitely didn't. And I got, in high school, history.
Maybe in college they went into it more heavily.
College, I didn't really, I took one history class. I was a poli-sci and English major. And then in high school, it was just basic, like, high school history, not, like, more than that. So.
It's actually a good movie.
We'll see.
If you like war movies, it's a good movie.
Fair. Is it sad?
I can't remember.
I can't
it's
do
been
sad.
Like 20 years since I've seen it.
So, my bio is, Kel is a Massachusetts native with a penchant for sarcasm and self-deprecation. She's starting over in her mid-30s and is an aspiring writer and actress, but a professional asshole. She's a self-proclaimed expert on everything and embodies the mantra, do as I say and not as I do, making her a master of doling out unsolicited advice. Don't get married young, kids. Just don't. I did steal your professional asshole line.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let you know I gave you credit for that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We don't talk about our bios on the show, but I would have given you credit had we.
Yeah.
But I am giving you credit right now. I stole that from you.
Thanks.
But I thought I wrote a pretty good bio.
It is a pretty good bio.
Right?
Yeah. Good job. It's almost as if you went to school for writing and it should just be second nature that you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, I've been working on a blog post for this website, a blog post for our website, and I was going to do a blog post for my website, but I decided I'm reconstructing the whole thing.
Oh.
So it's going to be under construction for a while, but I've decided once a month I'm going to do a his and her blog post. John agreed, and we're going to do a topic and a guy's opinion and a girl's opinion.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I think that'll be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have a million ideas and it's, I hardly ever execute them, but you know, it is what it is. Okay. So anyways, the unsolicited advice made me think of that and I wanted to read it to you.
Yeah. I'm a queen of unsolicited advice and I always feel really bad about it because I'm like, nobody cares. No.
We both do it though.
Nobody gives a fuck about what you think people should do right now.
I'm writing a memoir. That's the most narcissistic thing someone can do besides have their email address have the word "the" in front of it, which I also have. I'm the queen of narcissism.
At least you know it.
I mean, I think people want to hear my story.
I think people would want to hear your story. I mean, I don't think it's that narcissistic, but
it's a little bit narcissistic. Like, I am a nobody. I love my, like, I've done a lot of work and I'm very good on myself.
But I think if you're telling the story from a point of view of, I'm putting this down on paper more for me than anybody else.
And that's what it is.
But I think it will resonate with other people.
And I've heard from friends and old acquaintances that apparently read my blog and read my stuff that, and like, I hate saying it because it feels weird, but that like it's that I'm an inspirational person because of the stuff I went through.
I agree. I think when you write your blog, it's lovely.
Thank you. I just don't do it enough.
Which just sounded a little dismissive and I didn't mean it that way.
I didn't sound dismissive. Okay. From you, I know that that's a great compliment. It was not dismissive at all.
Do we want to talk about this fucking show?
I mean, I guess.
All right.
It's
really hard to take notes for
reunions.
Yeah,
I did not do it, and I also watched both reunions at the same time, like in a row.
Yeah.
So Lainey's gonna have to kind of stop me, because it's all one like amalgam of just a giant episode. It's an amalgam.
All right, so we start with hi.
Literally nothing else.
Yeah.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Kelly.
It's every reunion.
But usually, or at least now, in the more modern reunions, he says, like, hey, Bethany, how's your book? Or how's this? It was literally just, hey, and then the name. Yeah. Or then the name, and then hi.
Yeah.
I think they all looked fabulous.
Fabulous.
I'm trying to think. There was something before we get into it that this was the first time I noticed in between segments they did the Watch What Happens.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
And so this must have been pre Watch What Happens Live.
Possibly, or when it was getting going.
And they were trying to, market it out or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was something I wanted to point out before we kind of delve into the issues at hand here.
Yeah. I do have that somewhere in my notes of like, cause I kind of noticed it halfway through that they were doing it. And I was like,
kind of like me with the, when I was like, have they been doing in-person confessionals the whole time? And I just picked this up.
So all the ladies were in the headlines. Jill got a breast reduction. First of all, why was that in the headlines?
Why? I mean, Bethany's boobs were also in the headlines.
Maybe, yeah.
No, because they said, and Bethany, your boobs grabbed a lot of attention with the bikini photo.
Yeah.
And she's like, I got them lifted. What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you doing?
Kelly Ben Simone.
I found interesting. She made sure to correct Andy when he said Kelly Ben Simone. And she said, Kelly
Killoran.
Yeah, I don't know how to. I'm like, it's either Killoran or Killoran.
Killoran.
But she made sure to put her maiden name in there and like all attitude-y. I was like, fuck you, bitch.
She's just...
the worst.
Yeah.
All I can think of when she talks is that gif. I forget what the show is. It might be Parks and Rec. When the guy's like, the worst. That's all I can think of every time she's on my screen.
I've been watching The Simpsons. I don't know if I've told you this or not, but I'm determined to get through all 30 plus seasons.
Seems like an excessive goal.
I'm on considering, like 26.
Considering that you have been doing like nonstop research, are you multitasking with The Simpsons in the background?
Yeah, a lot of times it's in the background. Yeah. Like it's The Simpsons. I can or I can just kill like 10 episodes in like an evening.
Yeah, you know, and I do that with certain.
And like on the weekends, I'll just, yeah. It's just always on.
Yep, I totally get that. There are certain shows, like Schitt's Creek's like that for me.
Yeah, so you said that and I just went to worst housewife ever. So you'll probably get a lot of Simpsons references for me recent, like in the next few weeks, because that's my life right now.
I have stopped watching that when I was like going into high school, I think. I got, like, really anti-cart... I think we've had this conversation. There are, like, few adult cartoons that I enjoy now. And I'm pretty sure if I watched The Simpsons, I would enjoy it. But, like, Family Guy, I think, is overrated.
It's okay.
South Park, I think, is super overrated.
I've never understood South Park. I think it's stupid.
So stupid. The ones that I do like are Big Mouth, because I love John Mulaney, and I love Nick Kroll. And the two of them, they created it and they're main characters. That's hysterical. It's about adolescents going through puberty and they have these things called the hormone monsters.
Oh, okay.
So I found funny. I like Archer.
Archer's pretty good.
And then I think that's it. I mean, there's one other one that I like, but I like have a visceral reaction to South Park. I think it's the dumbest, most overrated bullshit. Agree. Like... ugh.
Yeah, I've never gotten into South. The Simpsons was lightning in a bottle, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when I was little, I watched, like, my dad let me watch, him and I always watched Ren and Stimpy together when my mom was cooking. And
I've
then,
never seen Ren and Stimpy.
It's great. And I was too I old actually for
it. I wasn't into it.
Don't know if I would like it now, but because it was something I did with my dad, yeah. And we like kind of like snuck, because it was gross humor, and yeah. I have gross humor. And my mom didn't like us watching that or The Simpsons, so we'd always change it if she was cooking dinner and she came in.
I was really partial to, in high school specifically, I was really partial to The Animaniacs.
Loved The Animaniacs.
And also Batman the Animated Series, which is, like, still something I absolutely love.
Not shocking. What's the one with the girl from MTV?
Daria?
Yeah, I liked Daria.
I did not like Daria.
I liked Daria. She was a cunt. That's why I liked it. Although I'm more like her sister, which is super fucking annoying.
But yeah, The Simpsons, like, I have a Fighting Hellfish tattoo on my leg.
Yeah, okay.
My friend Fraser and I got buddy tattoos a few years ago.
I love buddy tattoos.
And that's easily one of my favorite Simpsons episodes. Because, like, I think through high school into college, it became, like, that was their best writing period anyway, so it became really, really good.
So what year would that be for you?
From 93 to 2001, somewhere in that.
When I was watching it as well, but I was younger.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out if it was the same time period.
I was in fifth grade when The Simpsons came out, and it was like 1989.
I was...
because I'm fucking old.
3 years old. My birthday's coming up, everybody! This is actually late in the game for me to be mentioning my birthday. Yeah. Usually I start mentioning it in August. Yeah, that's, I know.
I don't even care about my birthday.
I love it. As being an adult, I haven't really had a good birthday. I've had, like, decent birthdays, but, like, it always ends in a fight or something. So I don't know why I'm so obsessed with it. For me, I feel like it's almost like, A, it's in the fall, and B, it's, like, a new year for me. Not for everybody, but for me.
So yeah, it's look at it as, like, a new...
like, starting beginning. Over. Yeah. So that's why I like it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, let's move on to Bethany dating A-Rod.
Yeah. Did she? Do we know?
I don't know. She probably boned him.
She probably... I mean, I love Bethany. I don't think she's... I think she has, like, a very aggressive jawline.
Yes.
Like, I have, like, a very aggressive...
I think she'd be willing... she got Botox for it, so, yeah, she knows. She's aware.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, so, and she looks stunning in some angles, and then other angles I'm like, huh, I look like that too. Like, not with the jawline, but some angles are better for everybody.
Yeah.
But I just am like, holy shit. Like, I guess I never noticed how, like, prominent her, like, goes up high.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I just like the idea that
J-Lo
has Bethany's sloppy seconds.
Time-wise, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, yeah, because she's with him now.
Yeah.
So. Before we kind of keep delving in, we were talking about headlines. We missed a big one because I was talking about Kelly Kaloran, Ben Simone's headline.
Oh, where the boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of gets into that. We get into it a little bit later, though.
Okay, so not then?
No.
Okay. Because I remember asking you last week, and I was like, what? Like, because it was so long ago, it's not in the headlines now.
Yeah.
And I was like, they say this, like, I'm supposed to know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Luann got broken up with over email.
Asked for a divorce over email. Worse than text?
Worse than a post-it note.
Oh, that's a Sex and the City reference if anyone doesn't get it. Fucking burger, man.
I actually am currently watching season 3 and 4. It's the only two seasons I'll actually watch of Sex and the City. I think because I just have run out of shit to watch. Because
you refuse to watch new... I don't want to get into this with you.
Okay, so last night I watched an entire preview for Schitt's Creek, and I don't like it. It wasn't funny. Sorry. Oh shit.
I think you... Did you... What did you do?
I don't know. Probably deleted most of my...
We'll wing it. We're fine.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine, don't but I don't think you can judge something based on a trailer, but okay.
Anyways. I think that's actually the whole point of the trailer is for me to judge it.
No, trailers don't.
Decide whether or not I want to watch it.
No. I say give it one episode, the first episode, not a trailer. You give me a show that you think I won't like, and I will watch the first episode if you watch the first episode of Schitt's Creek.
I don't know. Do you like The Golden Girls?
Of course I like The Golden Girls.
All right. Listen, I watched, like, 4 fucking shows in my life. The Golden Girls, The Gilmore Girls.
Veronica Mars. We're hitting on a theme here.
Yeah.
Well, we already talked about your lovely Veronica Mars bag. We don't have to go into that again.
Which is sitting right there.
I know. That's why I was going to bring it up.
Oh,
I'm going to be Wayne. Nope. I'm going to be Garth for Halloween. I'm like, nope. And we're recording a Halloween episode video, one for the other podcast, and I'm trying to get one of my co-hosts to be Wayne.
Nice. I am going to be the scariest thing of all for Halloween.
Yourself.
My most authentic self.
That's what I say every year, because this is the first year I think I'm dressing up in like 6 years.
I went to a Halloween party many years ago, and I wasn't dressed up. And someone walks up to me and goes, oh, you look good. They go, what are you doing? Like a little punk rock girl thing? And I was like, no, just my clothes. Literally just my clothes.
Wardrobe. Everyday wardrobe.
And I thought it was really funny because I was like, well, at least you said I look good.
Right. At least they weren't like, oh my God, you're... And like the worst TV character in the world or something.
Yeah,
I couldn't think of anyone off the cuff.
But they were like, oh, did you do like a little punk rock girl thing? I was like, well...
I mean, but that's just like my general disposition.
We know, like, you know me.
It wasn't like a stranger. That makes it so much worse. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Were they drunk?
No, it was like a sober Halloween party. Like, this was when I first got sober and I was actually hanging out with sober people.
Technically, I'm sober right now. Actually, anytime we hang out together, I'm sober.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, actual
I know.
Sober people.
I know what you mean. Although, I basically am sober. I'm just going to throw that out there. I know it's not the same, but for me it is. It's baby steps, people. Okay, so, A-Rod.
No, we already...
I know, I'm saying so, A-Rod.
Yeah.
I don't think she did. I think she boned him. I don't think they were dating.
Yeah.
Because she's like...
I agree.
There is a special someone, blah, blah, blah. Jason, right? Do we think this...
Probably
she was talking
Jason,
about Jason?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jason Hoppy.
Which I can't wait to delve into the...
Yeah.
That actually... I'm going to compare him and Kelly Ben Simone in my blog post that I'm writing for us.
Okay.
So that'll be an interesting dissection.
Hmm. Yeah, so the Countess got broken up with for an Ethiopian princess, or possibly just an Ethiopian person.
That was the strangest, like, I was like, this feels super racist. I don't know how to handle this. Like, I talk about getting cringe sweats when I get, like, secondhand anxiety from things, and I was like, I could feel, like, my neck turning red. I was like, who is the Count with? Is he single now, current day?
You know what? He hasn't called me in a while, so I don't know what he's
okay,
doing.
Okay, well, you tend to have the background on things, okay? Don't give me that, like, you don't fucking know shit.
I don't know. I know that there was some sort of Ethiopian royalty involved.
Or potential.
Yeah, a princess with no principles, as Bethany said, which made me laugh.
She always is. She comes up with the best fucking...
But it was just really funny because they were like, yeah, she might be an Ethiopian princess or just a regular old, like, run-of-the-mill Ethiopian woman. We're not sure.
It's so weird.
We're not sure. But, like, she was wearing kind of a tiara, but it might have been just, like, a headband. We don't know. We just don't know.
Could they not Google whether or not, like, does Ethiopia not, like, announce who their princesses are? The whole fucking thing's weird to me.
I don't know. I read a lot about I read a lot about a specific Ethiopian tribe when I was in college for one of my anthropology classes.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating, wonderful people, by the way. And I remember going to church because a lot of them they're Orthodox Hebrews. But a lot of them do go to a Greek Orthodox church.
Interesting.
I don't know if the two are correlated, though, so don't quote me on not knowing stuff.
I will not quote you on not knowing
stuff.
Or
don't shit on me for not knowing
stuff.
There
we go.
But I do remember going to church, like, there would be a pretty decent Ethiopian population in the Greek churches a lot growing up. So, lovely people. That's all I have to say on the matter.
And I was like,
all
right. So this is what happened when I Googled Count de Lesseps. All of Luann's arrests came up. This poor guy is like a French diplomat and his ex-wife's stuff. And so it says people also search for Alexander de Lesseps net worth, Victoria de Lesseps, Noel de Lesseps, Tom D'Agostino. Junior. And then Kamiria Abba Jobir Abba Jafar, which I'm going to assume was the Ethiopian person slash princess. But if you go down, back in 2018, it says from people.com, Luann de Lesseps learns about ex's new girlfriend before arrest. So,
Oh, wait, that might have been Tom's new girlfriend, though.
Oh,
and
maybe.
And that's why she got arrested.
Maybe. I mean, I know that she... I hate that it... Like, it would be nice... Yeah, it is Tom's. It would be nice if we could fucking... This guy's a French diplomat. Like...
I don't think it really means much, though.
She is a royal personality. This Ethiopian person that I think was at one point...
I'm a royal personality. What the fuck does that mean?
It says... Her name that I don't want to murder again, Kamiria Abba Jobir Abba Jafar, is an
Ethiopian. Say that 10 times fast.
I can't even say it one time slow. Is an Ethiopian royal personality. She is the great granddaughter of Abba Jafar II and the niece of Abba Bia Abba Jobir, a founding member of the Oromo Liberation Front. Anything with the word liberation makes me fear it's a terrorist group. It was reported that Count Alexander de Lesseps ended his marriage to reality TV personality Luann de Lesseps due to his relationship with her. Loves personalities that are not princesses.
Because
It didn't say royal princess. It just said royal personality, which is a term I've never heard before. But he had the courtesy to break up with her via email. So, I mean, at least he broke up with her whilst probably already cheating. Although they were separated.
Well, they had, like, an open marriage situation, it sounds like, at the end. We're going to put a pin in the marriage situation for season 3, episode 2.
Are we going to remember the pin?
Yeah, because it comes up pretty... Ramona definitely brings it up pretty vividly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So Alex got laid off from her job.
But now she's a consultant, which I feel is better for her.
For a second time around, which is an amazing store. Have you ever been there? It's a store.
I do love a consignment store. Yeah. Love a good one. Actually, this girl I went to high school with's old coworker was making good money at this, I don't know, startup or something, and then ended up creating her own consignment store, and now she's opening her third branch.
Oh, nice.
Which I think is pretty cool for someone, and she's like my age.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'd be like, oh.
In Needham, Massachusetts, there's a place called the Closet Exchange. Mm-hmm. And this woman, Maggie, who owns it, is just the loveliest, most wonderful person. That is my favorite consignment shop. I bought a Marc Jacobs, jacket there that, has this cute little tie in the front.
Yep.
For $35.
I got a Chic Boutique Consignments is the one I was just talking about.
Yeah.
Ashley is the owner. And, I bought a couple of really cute things and I sold stuff there. They're very good, with consigning things.
Yeah.
But I bought, this cause I like when I go out, I don't like to wear a bag. So I have a crossbody, where are you? Go ahead.
You said, I don't like to wear a bag. And I just pictured you wearing a trash bag for some reason. My brain didn't really comprehend what you just said.
I hate wearing trash bags in public. In private, they're my favorite. They're so just
posh.
Posh. And, you know, you can get as messy as you want.
Yeah.
And then you just throw it away.
Yeah.
No, I don't like wearing pocketbooks or purses. And I never have pockets to just hold things. So I try to get the smallest little crossover. You're
that person that would make me hold your wallet, aren't you?
No.
Because I always have a bag.
No. If I know I'm going somewhere, I'll either keep stuff in my jacket or I'll bring a little bag. So I bought this really cute Coach bag. Mm-hmm. And I got it for $20.
Yeah.
And it's the perfect size. It's brown and brown. It's ideal.
Because I love it when people are like, oh, are you bringing a bag? Yes, I'm bringing a bag to hold my personal items, not your. No.
I think I've done that.
I don't care
that
it fits.
I think I've done that a couple times when I was younger.
Yeah.
Or if I definitely have been the person in a relationship that was hey, can you take my ID and my debit card and just put it in your wallet? Yeah. But then that's it. I don't ask to hold my phone. I'll do that. But throw my cards in your wallet.
Yeah. And by the way, at the end of the night, when I've forgotten I have your stuff in my bag.
That's on you.
I'm going to go home with it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be upset with me, which has happened a couple. I've gone
home with
people's
wallets. That's their fault.
Car keys and house keys and stuff. And I'm like, then don't use me as your personal carrying service because I don't care about you. When I'm done and tired, I'm going to leave.
Irish exit. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. And if your shit is in my bag, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't think that's on you. I think that's on them.
Yeah, I agree. So anyhow, now we get to the Kelly Ben Simone.
Kelly Killoran Ben Simone. I had to do it. I had to. She's a fucking cunt. She's not even a shugsy. She's a straight up cunt.
Yeah. So she tries to play this like a victim. When someone breaks you down and blah, 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 blah.
And
these are the facts. These are the
facts. I hate the way she talks. My question is, and I know we don't like her. I've definitely been the victim of a situation where people have tried to reverse it onto me, not to the point where they've gone to jail, but I've definitely been put in the hospital by a guy who then tried to get back with me and said we both fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to just make sure we're taking not personal judgments. I think it's bullshit. I do think she made it up.
Oh, I don't believe her for a second.
But I just had to throw it out there a disclaimer.
I'm super sensitive to...
And listen, I know you are, and so am I. So I just wanted the listeners to know.
I'm very, very sensitive to domestic abuse.
Yep.
It's a very big deal for me.
Yep.
And when women do lie about it, which women fucking lie...
All the time. Listen. I'm sorry. That's why I don't like the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
It's because it affects... people who have been through real fucking shit.
Listen, you don't have to believe all women. You should hear all women, but you don't have to believe all women.
Cosign.
But I don't believe her for a second.
No,
first
I don't
of
either.
All,
well, this is why
generally
I wanted to...
police officers won't make the arrest when it's a man accusing a woman, unless there are actual marks, because most of the time the cops are like, what do you want me to do? Like, she can turn around and say the same thing about you, and I'm going to have to take you because you're the guy in the scenario. But mm-hmm. most of the time...
And she was arrested, correct? Like, yeah. fully arrested?
Yeah.
And I kind of keep interrupting you about this, and I agree with you. I think it's bullshit. I just wanted to kind of disclaim for our listeners that we're not saying this because we hate Kelly. This is our genuine belief. We were both very not open-minded, but we are both very sensitive to domestic abuse. So this is coming from a place of not judgment on her.
Oh, no, it's judgment.
Well, listen, no, you know what I mean? On the situation.
I don't particularly give a shit if people think I'm being disrespectful in any way, because I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want to say.
I know.
But one of the reasons I dislike her is because I believe she's the kind of person who would lie about the situation.
She's a manipulator, and she wants to look good.
So, like, I don't really care if you think I'm being sensitive to her or not.
Not to her, yeah. the situation.
Or the situation, because the situation didn't happen.
I know, but I know us, so I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah.
But I like to be, especially, you know, I mental health stuff is my kind of what I talk about a lot.
No, I know.
But I just want people to know that when we say that we don't believe her, it's not because we don't believe in domestic abuse. We don't believe her.
Once again, I don't have to believe all women. I just have to hear all women.
Correct. Okay.
So
moving on.
Basically, I don't know, she sounds like a fucking meth addict.
She's every time she talks, she sounds like she's on 17 different drugs. And also, that sounded like the most rehearsed.
These are the facts. When you just poke and prod and poke and prod. So basically, you guys had, this is my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I will give her a little bit of credit in my take, is she clearly had a really unhealthy relationship with this person, where they probably got fucked up together, like, fought, did all that shit, and...
And maybe they did fight, and maybe he hit her, whatever, but she definitely hit back.
Right, but, like, it sounds, the story from... And I should have looked it up, but it sounds like she basically fucking slugged him, and he walked down to the police station and was like,
"Yeah,
fuck her, I'm having her arrested for this shit."
Yeah, do you think she was drunk? Or on drugs?
I think she's always on drugs. I really do think or if she's not on drugs, she has severe mental health issues.
I think it's a combination of both. I think she needs to be put on the right drugs and not illicit drugs.
Yeah. So I did look up the owl design conversation, though.
Yes, because we talked about this with John, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, when I said put a pin in it.
Yeah. Ah, remembering the pin.
I
just yelled. Sorry, everybody. Just got excited we remembered a pin.
My ears are bleeding. So the story goes like this. Basically, they were doing a photo shoot, and this woman said, "Oh, I made this necklace. Would you mind wearing it so it could get some exposure?"
Like a collaboration type of situation. Yeah. Like a more, and, almost like an early influencer type of.
Pretty much. She puts it on and she goes, "This is great. I'd like to partner with you." And then Kelly takes that necklace that this woman gave her, went to a completely different person and said, "This is my design."
Yeah, she's a
piece
of fucking work.
She doubles down on this at the reunion and says she would never make a verbal agreement.
Because her dad's a lawyer.
But, like, you took a material item.
It doesn't matter if you'd make a verbal agreement or not. You took someone else's shit.
Right.
And you...
Like, someone literally said, "I made this," and you said, "I'm going to make money off of this."
Right. It doesn't matter a verbal agreement or not. You stole someone's product.
Right. So she's just...
I hate her. She's the worst. I can't wait. I cannot wait for Scary Island.
Yeah.
I'm forcing John to watch it with me.
I think he'll be all right.
Oh, he also said that if one of us is unable to record, he'd be happy to step in.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I was like, "Okay, but you refuse to listen to yourself?" And he's like, "Yes." And I was like, "You actually sound like a better radio personality than I do." But okay.
So Ramona was the only one that did not have drama in the press this year.
Is so shocking on so many. Well, no, because she wasn't really even in this season.
Yeah.
She like barely made an appearance. And there was one episode she made no appearance.
Was there?
I'm pretty sure. Or if she did, it was like 3 minutes on camera.
Yeah. So we actually go to the Ramona segment. And
is this Crazy Eyes or no? Is that the second?
It's basically her shitting on Lou, the step and repeat fight, shit-talking Silex, Kelly article, Jill likes the underdog, Ramona dancing by herself.
That's funny. Ramona dancing by herself part was great. Yeah. And then she got up to fix her dress. This episode, correct?
Yeah.
And Annie's like, oh God, where are you going? Because of her storming off.
Yeah. Jill gives her shit about the skincare line. I don't know, like, Jill, who the fuck cares?
I liked Jill in certain aspects of this reunion, I will say.
Yeah, when she was just parroting everything Bethany said, she sounded fine. I didn't have a problem with her.
I do, and I know they had their falling out, and all of that shit happened, and I agree. I liked her in the beginning. I know that I'm not going to like her later on, but I do think, even though it benefited her to be friends with Bethany, and regardless of that, I do think she was a good friend to Bethany at that reunion when Bethany started to, like, kind of break down. I think she was, like, a comforting, I don't know.
Well, yeah, because it was to her benefit.
I said regardless of her benefit.
Yeah.
Just pushing that aside.
I would like Ramona to do her own show on fixing her own trauma, because people shit on Ramona a lot.
I hate Ramona.
Yeah.
I always will.
I don't hate Ramona, and I never have. And I think it's because...
Hate's a strong word. Sorry. I dislike Ramona, and I don't like how now, even though I haven't watched the past, like, 15 episodes, because I didn't have Bravo for a while, this season of New York, I don't like that she's trying to be this holier-than-thou person.
She's always trying to be a holier-than-thou person.
Right, but then she also, like, leaves her own part. Like, she makes... I just don't like how hypocritical she is.
Yeah, but she's always been
But I don't like it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't like her. I hate hypocrites.
Listen, she's kind of a trash person, but she makes amazing television.
And I agree.
She belongs there. But here's the part...
Half of the cast is fired, by the way. I don't know who they're going to get. Sorry.
But there is a soft spot in my heart for Ramona, because I do understand that, like, she has a whole lot of emotional abuse and trauma in her life.
Yes.
And,
was it
what we watch is the culmination of that.
Yeah.
And she's from a generation and a time where trying to work through that and fix it is not, it's just not a possibility in her life the way that it could be for us. So I do have because I know she wants to be like a good person, and really she just wants to be liked. Like, that's where it comes from, is she really just wants to be liked.
That's why she surrounds herself by, I think she's a hard time being, not even alone, like, relationship wise, but just alone.
Yeah. And I do have like a lot of empathy for her in that way. And I really do, like, I wish, like, I always wish that, like, she and Bethany, and they did like that one episode when they were in upstate New York, but like, I really always wish that she and Bethany could have come together to like really talk about their personal traumas on this show.
Didn't they do that in the Berkshires?
No, they did it in upstate New York. Remember when they went to the bar?
Yeah, I thought that was in the Berkshires.
No, that was when they went to the Roundhouse.
For some reason, I thought
the Lou's Roundhouse.
I do remember it being at a bar. And I do remember them talking about it more in depth. And this is, you know, like 2 years ago. My question to you about Ramona. Was the trauma just from her father?
I think so. I think she grew up in a super unhealthy...
Well, because when Jill was talking about her mom and crying, and Ramona was...
Ramona?
That's her name from now on. Raboner.
I'm going to Raboner that guy.
That's 100% her personality, right? But she was also crying because she's like, I wish my mom was here and my mom passed. And so I was like, I thought she didn't have a good relationship with her mom. But then now I'm wondering if it was maybe just her father and then seeing her mom. Because her mom was the one that always said, you know, make your own money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So maybe...
I think her mom was... I mean, I don't know anything about her mom, but I get the sense that her mom was like a nice person and a decent mom who was in an abusive, controlling relationship. And I think Ramona got the fallback from that a lot. And listen, you grow up in a house where your mom's getting beat up and shit like that. That's going to sit with you.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
and you don't get to pick your family.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, like, I think that's why I defend Ramona so aggressively sometimes, because I do see, I see that for her, and I'm always like, but no, guys, come on. Like, Ramona can't help it. Like, she doesn't know. But she's just...
She refuses to work. Like, I've been through some shit.
Yeah.
That doesn't give me...
Right, she's an adult woman. Launch
to be a...
Right, and Bethany calls her out on that, where she's like, you're an adult woman, you need to work through this shit. Get over it. But, and I agree, like, and I said, I think a couple weeks ago, like, it's our jobs to remove our own triggers. But, like I said, she's from a generation where that's not an open conversation, and there's still a lot of shame behind it.
Right.
And so, while she's talked about it a little bit, I don't think for her to really look deeply into work into it, it's just not a possibility for her.
I mean, and now, yes, now especially, she's like 60-something. Right. But... For a very long time, I mean, Bethany goes to therapy. She's basically closer in age to Ramona.
She's closer in age to us. Bethany's 48. Well, she's closer in age to
me. Not to me. But yeah, but
Bethany's 48, I think. I'm 41.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're in your, I know you're 41. You never look 41.
Thank you. It's my ageless skincare.
That also drives me nuts. I don't want to talk about that again. Because I just go down a rabbit hole. I have a hard time. Like, everyone has their shit.
Yeah.
Everyone. And I've been through trauma, and maybe because I'm working so hard for so long. I mean, after I was hospitalized, I'm not going to go down a dark path, but after I was hospitalized in 2015, I've been spending the last 5 years working on myself and holding myself accountable and calling out myself on bullshit.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time on people who refuse to even like acknowledge their behavior.
Yeah, listen, it's
like she doesn't even acknowledge her behavior. That's what my problem is.
Yeah, and there are many times in my life where I've had to turn to someone and be like, listen, you're a great person, but you refuse to even acknowledge that you play a role in why your life sucks. So I'm not.
And it's toxic. I can't be around people. I don't need to
be around that. And they're fine, lovely people, but they have their own version of trauma that affects me negatively. And I could never be friends with Ramona. Like,
yeah,
like if Ramona was in my life, I'd be like, love ya, but you got to stay on my TV. Because on my TV, she's great and I can have empathy for her and I can laugh at her.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're about to talk about next is why I fucking love Ramona.
Yeah.
But like, in my own personal life, she could never, like Bethany, I could have her in my life because I feel like she's just on a different wavelength. Ramona, I could never have in my life.
Bethany's nuts, but she acknowledges it and she tries to work on it.
Right.
And it's like, I've gotten to the point in my mental health where I refuse to hang out with people that are toxic to me.
Yeah.
People that are draining. I refuse to do it.
Yeah.
I don't care enough.
Yeah. And I mean, there are people who are like even unintentionally that way. I had a good friend who was very unintentionally draining in her drama and her toxicity. Like, she's a wonderful person and she's sweet and kind and all that stuff. But her personal life at some point will start to affect you because it's just always there.
Or always complaining about something.
Right. And she didn't even complain, but like it was just constant situations in her life. And at some point I had to go, well, you like this. Like, you're in this because there's a part of you that's getting something from this. Yeah. So you're not, I can't have that. I can't constantly have someone in my life who is always in a situation because I'm trying my hardest not to be in anything but life, you know, and situations are draining for me. So,
and that's, I mean, I had a good friend and she's still my good friend. I don't talk to her as much because it's always something.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear every conversation. Like, I got to the point where I would try to have a serious conversation about something I was going through and all of a sudden the topic would switch to like her baby. I'm like,
no, first of all, have a baby, no one can fucking, no one fucking.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't. I really don't care.
It takes zero talent to fuck. and zero talent to create a baby. Right. Zero. Zero.
And it was her choice. Literally,
it's our only mission in life is survival and procreation. So you having a baby, I don't fucking care.
And also, it was your choice to have a baby. So, like, I don't want to hear you complain about it. And if I'm having, like, if I'm coming to you in a vulnerable place and you say, oh, I'm so sorry, that must suck. Oh, so-and-so shit their diaper all over. Like, thank you so much for listening to my legitimate thing where I thought I could trust you as a friend.
Yeah.
And then turning it on to you and you're now complaining.
Yeah.
And it was constant just complaining about something. And I'm like, I love her, but I can't engage in conversations with her.
Yeah.
But I want to know what is the dancing? What about, what is it? Let's hear it.
So we talk about when they went to the Cancer Society or whatever the fuck they went to. I didn't write it down the right way.
Oh, the dinner.
And
they got
into the fight. And Luann says that she didn't overreact. She honestly just didn't want Ramona there because she said she knew she would say something.
Well, because they were all aware of Luann having issues with the count, right. I believe.
And then Ramona just fucking lets it all out. And she talks about the fact that the marriage was already rocky and everybody knew about it, but Luann was acting all high and mighty. And she was taking, like, Mario's friend's phone number so she could fuck him.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Like, she just starts spilling all of it. And I was like, this is why I love... Because she has no fucking...
Filter.
And she will just
everything. For her, for Luann to tell Bethany not to get a guy's number and give him... Or whatever. And then do the exact... Whatever it was. And she did the exact opposite. And Lou was like, well, how do you know it wasn't a friend? And it's like, well, how do you know it wasn't a friend?
Like, because it was my husband's friend and you didn't know him.
Yep. Oh, it was great. I loved it.
But yeah.
I do love that part of Ramona. It's just, again, it's the hypocrisy. I have a real issue with hypocrites in general. Like, it really is something that, like, it, like, gets to a deep part of my core that I don't understand why I don't like it so much. That's what pisses me off about Ramona. It makes it hard for me to like her. I do like this part of Ramona.
Yeah. Well,
Like, I love when she's unfiltered and calls people out on their shit. And I love when she takes accountability for her actions at reunions. In the moment, she never takes it. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I was kind of, You know what? No, Kelly. Yeah. I had your back and now I don't. Like, in the middle of the reunion, just changes her mind completely.
Yeah, listen, she's a very polarizing person, so I understand when people don't like her, but...
I'm back and forth on her. It's not like I consistently dislike her. It's just an overall, if I had to rate her on, not a scale, but on liking her or disliking her, and that was it, I would say I dislike her more than I like her.
Yeah.
But there are moments like this that I do enjoy her being on
the
TV.
She makes me laugh my ass off, and I think, like, I love...
I mean, I'm excited for that. She makes me laugh
probably the most out of most of them.
Besides Bethany.
Yeah.
I just like her Ramona eyes. I can't wait for the runway scene.
So they talk about Jill spending a shit ton of money. I actually agree with Jill. Oh, like, 1,000%. When the economy's bad, we need to spend money. Sorry, that's just the way it is.
That's why we get stimulus checks.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I don't use it that way. I put it towards credit cards, so it doesn't really help. But you're supposed to spend money if you have it to get the economy moving.
Yeah, I mean, within reason, you're not supposed to go on a shopping spree if you don't have
and also, I mean,
the money to spend. But
not for nothing, the businesses she's helping aren't really businesses that we need to help.
Yeah, like, Bendel's will survive.
Right, like, maybe go to a local mom and pop boutique or something.
But she also, I will give Jill credit. Shocker. She does tend to frequent, like, very small
boutiques,
like boutique designers that probably do need her to survive.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm just thinking now with COVID, how many businesses I've seen shut down.
Yeah. Like major businesses,
like the bankruptcy of a ton of places.
Yeah.
And then just like seeing all these restaurants shut down and, I know, it's sad.
I think it
how
says
quickly it can happen.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about how we spend money in this country that businesses can't survive like 2 months of not being in operation.
Yeah.
because, and just people can't survive 2 months of not being at work. And I think for me personally, I've really totally reevaluated, despite the fact that I bought myself like a fucking coffee machine I don't need.
I mean, but, overall, you're saving money, I think.
Right. But I've very much evaluated the way that I choose to spend money and what it means to me.
Same. You know, money's a huge, like, finances are always a huge issue for me to deal with. But I've started to, like, really just minimum. I'm like, I wear like 17 things. Let me get rid of all these other things and donate them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, try to sell them for like whatever. It doesn't really work. But I've really just have been, and that's why my office is a mess. I've been trying to just minimalize everything and have just my basic necessities. And I bought a car. Did I tell you I bought a car?
No, you didn't tell me you bought a car.
I meant to tell you when you came in because I wanted to see Tanya Harding. I bought a car.
What'd you buy?
2011 Nissan Rogue.
Nice.
Yeah, I traded it in.
I think Carolina mentioned, I think she has a Rogue.
Carolina. Let us know.
I'm pretty sure she has a Rogue or a Murano. It's definitely a Nissan.
I think my brother has, I don't know. But I wanted a smaller SUV.
Yeah.
And there's this auto shop right down the street from me. It's like Amaro Family Auto or Amaro Brothers Auto. They are the nicest, most honest people. They gave me a super fair trade for my car.
Mm-hmm.
They reduced the price on the Nissan Rogue. They realize, this is just speaking of small businesses, they realize that you get repeat customers by standing behind your company. And I think I only ended up having out of pocket to spend $2,500.
That's awesome.
Right. And so, I got approved for a loan, but then my dad, when I told him I bought a car and he was like very proud of how I did it, he's like, let me loan you the money. So there's no interest.
Nice.
So that was very nice of him. So
then, basically you don't have a car payment.
Well, I have to pay my dad, but yes.
High five on no car payment, though, because that's...
That was my goal.
That was my goal, too. I don't like having a car payment.
I'll be able to pay off the $2,500 very quickly.
Yeah.
I just didn't have it then. But the dealer, Dave, that I'm working with, he's fully replacing the front tires for me. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm making sure everything is... You know, I noticed that this didn't work. I'm getting that fixed. Like, he is triple checking everything before selling it to me.
That's awesome.
And so anyways, so I'm getting a Nissan Rogue, and I already named her.
Oh.
Because Rogue made me think of, like, X-Men, and she's silver or gray, so I'm calling her Storm.
Nice. So, I love it.
Thank you.
Actually, you know what? She definitely has a Rogue, because when she got it, Rogue One came out, so we were trying to figure out, like, what to name the car.
What'd you name her? What'd she name her? Not you.
I want to say Jen Orso, but I don't think that was it. It started with a J.
Did I tell you what my first car's name was?
No.
JJ for Jenna Jameson.
I love that.
It was a 1990 Camry with the indestructible bumpers that really should be back in.
Yeah.
But my friend named her car after a porn star. I didn't watch porn when I was getting my first car, but so the only porn star I knew was Jenna Jameson.
Big hero of mine. Not joking.
I believe you. So my first car's name was JJ.
Yeah. I actually worked with a guy who named his daughter Jenna, and I was like, oh, after Jenna Jameson? He goes, yep. And I go, ha, ha, ha. He goes, not joking. I was like, that's amazing.
Love that.
But she's an amazing businesswoman. She's
I feel that worth way.
So much money.
I feel that way about the Kardashians. I hate them. Yeah, but they're really good business people.
They are, but they started off with money. She started off with nothing, and she parlayed a porn career into being like a very savvy businesswoman.
Yeah.
And I actually wrote a paper on her. It was technically an American studies class, which is the only reason I took it, but it was a women's studies class.
Ugh.
And I was a little bit bamboozled into the women's studies class.
I too was bamboozled.
And as you know, I don't necessarily do great with feminists. I don't
Neither
know
do
why.
I.
But listen, I am a pioneer in my industry. Like,
I know.
Feminists should love me. They fucking hate me.
Feminists hate me too. That's because we're, I don't know, because of instances of us saying you should hear every woman but not believe them.
Yeah.
That's why they don't like us.
Well, tough shit. That's the truth.
It is the truth.
Preach.
Oh, my, sorry, before we get off topic of cars. My car now, I don't think you ever knew her name, his name, Remington Steele.
Hmm.
Okay.
Cars are all girls, though.
Mine was Remington Steele. It just fit. Most cars are girls, but this was Remington Steele.
My horse trailer is,
You don't have your horse trailer anymore.
No, I have my horse trailer.
Oh, what trailer did you sell?
I didn't sell my trailer yet.
I thought you said you...
Okay. I traded in my truck.
I know that.
Sell my trailer.
What was your truck's name?
Elvira.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, my trailer is named Roger Moore, because he's my favorite Bond.
Fair. Okay. Women's studies.
Oh, so yeah, I took this women's studies class, and we had to write papers at the end of the class for, like, women we thought were strong figures. So I chose... No, actually, I don't remember what the paper topic was, because I chose Jenna Jameson. No. Hold on. It was a really long time ago. I chose to write about how...
Sorry, everyone. Opening a seltzer.
How porn empowered women.
It does. And now that's a feminist thing. Back then it wasn't.
Right. And another girl wrote a paper on how pornography objectifies women. And so our professor was like, why don't we have a little debate?
Ooh, I love debates. I was in the debate. Well,
and I mopped the fucking floor with this girl.
Good for you. It was hilarious. Not shocked by that at all, by the way.
And she was like, and there was like this wicked feminazi girl in the class who one time started yelling at me and going, do you understand what it's like to be a lesbian on the Orange Line? And I was like, no, I literally do not. I understand what it's like to be on the Orange Line, and that's always an experience, but not a lesbian on the Orange Line. Sorry, I just don't have that experience. I don't know what to tell you.
And, like, also, I just, that's why I don't
also,
like feminists.
Also, lots of lesbians on the Orange Line. It's the JP run.
I don't understand. Yes, actually, I know lesbians that were on the Orange Line. I don't understand feminists because I feel like they're always changing their mind. Like, back then, no, like, seriously, like, back then, like, sex workers were, like, being taken advantage of and weren't in charge of their own. And now...
It's female empowerment.
Yeah, I just, I don't
get it. Well, because third wave feminism... feels a lot like the sluttier you are, the more empowered you are, which is why the Lalas of the world have a platform.
Yeah, I just don't like that it's, like, anti-men.
Well, it's always anti-men.
Well, not, like, the original, like voting. That stuff wasn't... That was... We deserve rights, too.
That wasn't feminism, though. That was just women's suffrage.
I know, I'm saying, but...
Suffrage. Suffering succotash.
No, but it's like, men are the devil. And I'm like, but they're...
The patriarchy.
Yeah, just fuck the patriarchy, man.
Okay, so I always say the patriarchy is the Illuminati for girls.
Oh my God, I love that. Because you know I love me a good conspiracy.
Yeah, and then I was on Facebook yesterday and someone was like, what would you call a whole bunch of vaginas in the same room? And I wrote a murder of muff. Because I thought that was really funny. But then someone else wrote the clitorati, and I died.
The clitorati. That is the... That's what I'm calling them from now on. Not legitimate women that have legitimate things to say. It's this mob effect that people get nowadays. It's like... The what is it? It's called the mob mind, right? Or it's called
the hive mind.
Hive mind, thank you.
Because they all think they're queen bees.
Yeah, and it's not even that, but it's with anything. Yeah. Like, men too, society. It's whatever is popular, all of a sudden, now everyone fucking thinks it's gospel.
Yeah,
The hive mind's fascinating.
It is, because I am very much in a male-dominated industry, and it's not
without... Not even very much. You are in a male...
Yeah. And it's not without its issues, as far as my being a woman. Not a lot of issues. I've always been pretty humbled by how supportive the men I work with are of me and my ambitions,
well,
and how much
talented.
They pushed me forward.
Right. You're good at your job.
I'm pretty good at my job, yeah. But at the same time, like, I grew up in a culture that did not value women.
Right. I mean, like you said multiple times here, like,
right.
that you were bred to not...
Right. I was not raised to believe that as a woman I had any real rights or any real feelings to anything. And the thing is like, I took the road that I took in rebellion of that mentality.
Because you grew up with construction, correct?
Yeah, my dad was a carpenter growing up. Okay, yes. So I grew up doing it, but it was just like something I did with him on the weekends and to help him out with like invoicing. Like, yeah. I did a lot of work with him.
And but so did he still want you to marry off and not do
my the work? Dad never really did. It was Your really mom. My mom that pushed it.
Push the work or push the marriage stuff?
Push the marriage stuff.
Yeah, that tracks. I feel like...
My dad was pretty, like, when I was, like, getting into the union and all that stuff, like, he outwardly had to say no, but you could tell he was proud.
Yeah.
He came to see me at work one day, and I was just framing walls. Like, that's... He was working for housing toward the end of his career, and... So I was doing a job in Southie and we were both down the street from each other. So he came to take me to lunch and he walked in and I was like literally just framing a wall, like no big deal. But he was just like, oh, wow, you really know what you're doing. I was like, Dad, you taught me how to do this when I was 8. Like,
why are you shocked?
Why are you shocked? But I think for him to see me in the environment of doing it, and actually doing it professionally and with not
getting
just
paid, like, not right. like helping
and
your
being
father
respected
as a child.
By the guys who are working around me. Like, right. That was, I think he took a lot of pride because he didn't have a son, so he didn't have someone to kind of like take up after him.
Yeah,
and so like I think there was pride in that, but that was also not without its issues. Like, it very much fractured my relationship with my parents to like go into this side of construction. But I did it because I didn't do it so I could be a woman in the forefront of anything, but I did it because I refused to allow boundaries to shape my life, you know, and to allow these like rules, these restrictive rules of what I could or couldn't be as a woman to shape my life.
And I think with families it's tough too, because my parents have always been very supportive of me, always.
Yeah.
But also, I've felt pressure to get a... I mean, my dad was with his company for 44 years. Neither of my parents went to college. Both of my brothers dropped out of college or got kicked out of college in their first semester. I technically was the first to graduate college, but my brother went on an accelerated program and graduated...
Just to beat you?
A week before me. I was so annoyed. I'm like, you... fucking fucker, I did it the right way and you're graduating a week before me. Yeah. And now I have to share my graduation with you.
Yeah,
I love him, I'm proud of him, but I then like I just started realizing, and part of it was my ex-husband too, that being a writer wasn't quote unquote a career, it was a hobby.
Yeah.
And so I didn't pursue it, and I pursued law. And, you know, then I was in litigation support for 10 years and I was miserable because all I wanted to do was write. And everyone's like, oh, we'll do it as like after work. And then I'm fucking exhausted. I travel 3 hours a day to get into the city to use my mind. When I get home, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
And so now I have the opportunity to actually follow my dreams, and I've never been fucking happier.
Yeah.
So it's like, sometimes you just have to do what you want, and if it ruins relationships, then
yeah. And listen, you just got, I don't think there's anything wrong with just being a housewife.
No,
who
me
raises
either.
Children. I don't think there's anything wrong with just being a secretary. No. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I had a mind for something, and I have a talent for something. And I had a drive to do it. I actually was reading my birth chart the other day.
Oh, I love reading my birth
and
chart.
And it actually says in my birth chart in 4 different places that I should do something in regards to architecture and building.
Mine says creative.
Yeah. So I'm like, I am in the career that I was born to be in. And it's not right for everybody. A lot of women will be like, oh, you do that? How do I get into it? And it's like, just because I can do it doesn't mean you can or should
I couldn't.
Try.
I absolutely
because
could not.
This is something that I was like, I was brought up doing it, and it, I was born to do it. And there's a lot of great women in the industry. There's a lot of shit women in the industry. Right. But, you know, I'm still a novelty in my career. Like, oftentimes I'll sit in meetings and I feel like my job is a favor and not something I've earned. And that's really hard to reconcile, because I do, I'm a perfectionist and I'm really hard on myself. And I take that to mean that I'm not good at what I do, and I have to work really hard to deal with that, you know, but it doesn't mean that I'm not where I belong. And it doesn't mean that I'm like, I don't do this so I can, you know, tell people that I'm a woman in construction. I do it because I love it. I truly love what I do for work.
I used to tell people when I was working in litigation that I wanted to be a full-time dog mom.
Yeah.
And just stay home and not be a housewife. Just be like a full-time dog mom. I actually had a shirt. I still have it. That's his fault. Now, you know, I have, you know, my stepkids, because we're not married, but I have two children in my life, three dogs in my life.
Yeah.
And now I'm podcasting and acting. And for me, like, I was in a movie.
Yeah.
And commercials, and I'm auditioning. It still feels like I'm like the imposter syndrome. Like, when I tell people I am a writer or an actress or a creative or a podcaster, it just feels fraudulent.
Yeah.
Even though it's not.
It feels fraudulent when I tell people I'm a construction superintendent.
Right. It's just
also, by the way, in my birth chart, apparently imposter syndrome and perfectionism.
I mean,
I need to read that thing like once a month to remind myself.
Do you have the cosign app?
I don't know. I have one.
I love it.
It's okay.
Mine's like, I love it.
I follow this woman, Ambi Kavanaugh, and I got it from her, and it's pretty it's pretty in depth, and it's pretty awesome. So I like, and I actually asked her recently. I was like, listen, I'm really, really struggling with imposter syndrome right now. Like, how do I? And she's like, she looked at my birth chart and she goes, yeah. She's like, you are going to nitpick yourself. You are going to be a perfectionist, and you just have to, like, this is who you are, and you just have to learn to work with that, you know? And it's,
yeah. I mean, with CoStar, it says, are you ready to get curious about the cold side of your big heart? And that for me is something like, I have an issue because I take care of everybody else. I can't say no. And so then I don't take care of myself. And so it's like now, and even when I got Reiki, she was like, you need to stop. You need to stop. You need to ground yourself. You need to worry about yourself and stop doing things for other people.
Well, there is a level of manipulation in doing things for other people. And when I kind of, my therapist had that conversation with me one day, and like, I stopped cold turkey right after that, because what she said to me was, when you are always doing things for other people, in the moment you might be doing it because you really care about someone, but if they never return that favor, you mark that down. And there's a level of manipulation that comes along with being that super altruistic person. And not that I don't help my friends anymore, because I do. Like, when people need me to be there, I will. But there is like a certain level of manipulation that comes along with being like that yes person all the time. And she said it to me, and I was like, nope, never doing that again.
Mine's typically family, and it's hard for me to say no, because like, I can see why they, like, it's never like financial.
You can say yes with boundaries though.
Yes, for sure. And, but like, also my parents have helped me so much in life.
Yeah.
That it's almost like,
you're paying it back.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's different. I mean, like
my brother, has he taken advantage of me? Like, watching the, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Would he do the same for me? He's definitely watching my dog for weekends when I need him.
Yeah.
Would he babysit the kids? I don't know. So there are, I am starting to try to learn boundaries, but with my parents, it's like almost like I physically can't say no, because they have done everything for me.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, we super digress, because the reunions are hard to recap.
Let's jump forward to Ramona Doesn't Go to Brooklyn.
Yes,
let's. I feel like we can just jump around. We're that far from being done.
I mean, yeah. There was not a lot of heavy... Again, reunions are hard to recap because they're all over the place.
Yeah. I just like that Ramona goes, I eat dinner at 8. I eat dinner at 8.
And then she goes, bed at 8.
And they're like, there's restaurants in Brooklyn. And she goes, I don't want to eat in Brooklyn.
And aren't there, like, good restaurants in Brooklyn?
There are, especially nowadays, there are really good restaurants. The only restaurant I will go to while in Brooklyn.
Okay, snap. Is this that Chinese place?
No. It's Junior's. Junior's is like a deli, but they have the most...
If you say lox.
Fucking believable cheesecake you'll ever have in your entire life.
Better than the North End?
Oh, like, yeah. Like, the best. Purposely go to there for cheesecake. And people who don't like cheesecake usually love Junior's cheesecake. I was there one time, and Spike Lee walked in.
Oh, you and your random run-ins with...
Yeah, with, like, famous people.
One of the main characters of Schitt's Creek is filming across from Cape Cod Cafe in Brockton, mm-hmm. where I was last night.
Yeah.
And I went hoping to, like, meet her, fucking can't.
Yeah, no, I literally, like, fork full of cheesecake, and I look over, and Spike Lee walks in, and I was with my cousin Maria, who sometimes listens to this, I think, and I was like, Maria, Maria. Spike Lee, and she's from Greece, so she goes, I don't know who the fuck that is.
I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense then.
And he saw me get like I was really respectful, but he saw me get like super excited and like recognize him, and he gave me a courteous nod, and I was like, that's it. That is all I'll ever need to be an okay white girl. I got a courteous nod from fucking Spike Lee.
I carry
that with me always.
There's a level of... Like, I always want the picture with someone because I think for me, it's like memory. Like, yeah. I have a hard time remembering things. But Bill Murray owned the Brockton Rocks baseball team. It's like a...
Yeah, I think I remember that.
So my dad, him and my mom had season tickets. And when you bought season tickets, you got your names engraved in the seats. And I was probably 16 or 17 and we went to opening night and it was pouring. So everyone was... Not in the seats. They were above, walking around waiting for the rain to pass. And my dad passed Bill Murray. And this was before iPhones and, like, good camera phones. But there were still camera phones. And my dad was... I mean, it's fucking Bill Murray.
Yeah.
It's Bill fucking Murray.
It's awesome.
And my dad was like, oh, my God. Like, hi. Because basically, they ran into each other. And apparently, Bill Murray's, like, this super nice guy when he meets people. And he was like, oh, hey, like, do you want a picture? And my dad's like, honestly, no, I just want to shake your hand.
Yeah.
And there's something about, like, I have such respect for people who do that rather than are like, yeah, I'll take it. And I'm the type that's like, no, I want a picture.
I don't. The only person I ever asked for a picture was Darth Maul. And I only did it because my nephews were so into Star Wars at that point.
For me,
that I wanted to be like, look who I met.
I try not to do it in the wild. Like, I'll definitely go to events where I know people are taking photos. The one person I did it in the wild to was Mark Wahlberg. And it was because other people were right in front of me that were doing it. So I just, like, casually handed my phone to the entourage person that was taking the photos and just, like, stood next to him. But that was, like, the only in the wild.
I wouldn't know Mark Wahlberg if I saw him in real life.
He's short.
Yeah, I know. He's short.
His hair was my height. Like, with his hair flying in the wind. But I definitely noticed him. Yeah. I was like, that's Mark fucking Wahlberg.
So years ago, I was at a boxing thing. And standing next to me was one of the Wahlbergs. I wasn't sure which one. But they all have a look.
They do.
I was
like,
that's definitely a Wahlberg. And wasn't really paying attention. And then, like, the next day someone goes, hey, did you, like, talk to Donnie Wahlberg all day? And I was like, no, why? They're like, you were standing next to him the whole night. I was like, oh. I was like, I assumed he was a Wahlberg, but I had
to... I know. I feel so bad for the non-famous Wahlberg, because one's like a marathoner, the other's like a famous chef.
Yeah.
And then Donnie's married to Jenny McCarthy now.
Yeah.
And then Mark Wahlberg, I think we talked about this, had the same priest as me.
Did we talk about this? Oh, yeah, I think he
did. So, but anyways.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg's actually, he gives a lot of money
I love Mark Wahlberg. We talked about this.
What's the word I'm looking for? Halfway houses, and one halfway house specifically in South Boston, he gives a lot of money too. So
he
does the right thing.
Yeah, I like him. But anyways, I know.
But wouldn't that. Be like if I walked, literally stood next to Donnie. I wasn't a big New Kids on the Block fan, anyways. But literally stood next to Donnie Wahlberg, like next to each other all night long. Like our elbows were touching the whole night.
I think he probably respected that. Like I think they love. Like, you give them a hi, hey, how are you? And then let them enjoy their night.
Yeah. And usually, I mean, listen, they're just people. And
right. They, like, hey, listen.
They don't care about me.
That could be me someday.
Yeah.
That could be me. Do you know how many actresses started later in life than me?
Yeah.
But anyways, back to, I guess, the reunion. Even though I find us far more interesting.
So, Simon's freak out. We talk about that. The one.
And Simon didn't show up on camera.
No.
This reunion, which I found interesting.
Ramona asks Alex if he beats her. And V's like, yeah, because she would just openly talk about that right now.
I thought that was hysterical. I'm like, would she expect a real fucking answer? I hope not.
What if she asks that and then, like, Alex just breaks down and is like, yes, he does. Help me.
As much as I don't like... I think he could... He has a manipulative side to him, or a controlling side, but I don't think it comes out to her. I picture him being very controlling, but, like, in a workplace environment. Like, I think he adores...
Oh, yeah, he worships her.
But I don't... I do see, like, that kind of side of him.
Yeah.
Where, like, he could snap very... I don't think he would ever snap at his family, but I could definitely see him being the type to just lose it at, like, a restaurant.
Yeah, I think he has a temper, but...
I mean, I have a temper. I'm not... It's not a judgment about tempers.
Yeah. Like, whatever. I think it's funny when people... When you exhibit any sort of temper, it's like there's something really wrong with you.
I mean, there is something really wrong with me. My Reiki person's like, you have a lot of fucking angst. Yeah. I was like, yeah, no, I know. I'm working on it.
But at the same time,
why is
it, you know, working? Like, shit, listen, anger is an emotion, just like all the other ones. If you want to experience emotions... You got to work with that one, too.
Well, so. And then also, like, it's cathartic sometimes. Yeah. Sorry.
So we move to the Bethany segment, and Jill loves the line, busting balls, because Jill really thinks that Bethany comes up with this stuff on her own, and they're not just common phrases.
Yes, I was going to discuss this with you, because this happened last reunion and last, sorry, my OCD is really driving me nuts right now, and last... Like, last season during one of the filming episodes, and then during the reunion. It's, like, very common phrases that she acts like... And I really don't think that she's ever heard any of them before because of the crowd that she hangs out with.
She's... Either that or she's just stupid, which...
Well, let's not put that by her. Although, I did like her boyfriend from... Did you watch that episode of this year?
No,
She, like, brief... I know, I just didn't know when you stopped.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
And
he
seemed like a very nice guy.
Yeah, whatever.
And she actually seemed normal.
Yeah.
But anyways.
They talk about Bethany's New York Times bestseller, Naturally Thin.
I hate that name.
And then Jill says she can have it all, but not all at the same time. You can go fuck yourself with a rusty fucking rail tie. Like, that's how much I fucking hate you for saying that shit.
I knew you were going to bring it up because... When she said it before, it was like not a trigger, but whatever. And I agree. I
just think it makes you a shitty friend to say stuff like
and
that.
And I'm telling you now that I agree with you full heartedly.
This chair is really comfortable, by the way.
It is. I agree. I loved it. I had it for years.
Yeah. Kelly has given me a nice chair so my neck won't keep being fucked up when I sit for too long.
It's nice. It's a little office chair. Everyone's writing a book.
Alex calls Bethany out about all her shit talking.
And Bethany owned it and apologized.
Yeah, yeah.
Bethany also does say stuff to people's face.
Yeah, she does. But I think this was more like earlier in the season when she said some pretty nasty shit.
And we were talking about that, the how not to parent.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it was a funny line, but it was a shitty thing to say as a friend. Right.
Which, can I just gush about how much I love Alex at this, like, can we all be on board with Alex now?
I'm on board with Alex.
Okay, good. Because I love her. She's one of my all-time most favorite housewives. And you just made a face.
Because of my OCD, it's driving me nuts. Not because of you. Sorry, my OCD is, like, suddenly out of control.
But, yeah, I love her. Like, I love that she'd be willing to, like, say that to Bethany's face and just, but, like, in a very classy and, like...
And she accepted the apology and it seemed like everything, you know, worked out.
Yeah.
And she gave Ramona props for how Ramona, you know, as untactful as she is, will say everything to your face.
Yeah.
And Bethany does, and Bethany did a lot of quips because she knows that. And I think the producers egg her on a little bit with doing quip, like in the confessionals. And I think we're definitely seeing more of it in modern filming because now we're hearing the producers in the confessionals, which is bizarre. But I, you know, she takes accountability, and that's what I love about Bethany.
Yeah.
And yes, I am on board with Alex.
Yes. Thank you. Finally.
And
I even, can openly love Alex, not like I was hiding it. Now we're ashamed about it.
And I told you I liked Alex when she was alone.
Yeah.
I didn't like her with Simon. Now I'm starting to like her with Simon because they like toned down a lot of their like over PD. Like it was just a lot. It was, they were very intense and they're slowly like getting into like a good television groove. And so I'm starting to get on board with Silax. I like Simon alone and I like Alex alone. Definitely.
Yeah. I think in season three is really where you just fall in love with them as people because they're just so down to earth.
It's people.
Yeah.
Like, there are people that just aren't made for TV because they're good people.
Yeah, and they're both, like, too nice for television, and that's why they're not on and television anymore. And I think
Barb was the same way, like, from, I don't know, I liked her. I thought she was funny, but she's not made for TV.
She's tacky.
That's why I liked her. Like, she's just herself.
Just a she's level just, of tacky I can't handle.
Yeah. I thought it was, I don't know, I thought that I liked the kitschiness of it. But anyways, yes, I'm on board with Alex.
And then Kelly Killoran, Ben Simone, basically says she would never give an interview about Bethany. I listened to a podcast last fall of Kelly Ben Simone talking about Bethany.
Yeah. She's like she's I wouldn't give Bethany the time of day. Bethany literally hasn't uttered your name.
In years.
I don't think.
And I think maybe someone asked her recently and she was like, whatever, that fucking idiot. But, like, she still gives interviews and talks obsessively about Bethany.
Manically.
Yeah. So, she's such a psycho. And then Ramona
says, it's when people dislike Bethany.
Yeah.
They, like, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking about, like, they go at, like, Jason Hoppe loses his shit.
Yeah.
Kelly loses her shit. And even Bethany's like, I don't know what I did to make you react so, like, when they were having the conversation in Allie's room, she's like, you don't, you really lose it when you're talking to me.
Yeah. Well, because she has.
And Bethany's so calm.
Yeah, I kind of have this too, especially when someone's coming at me, I get real calm. I get real quiet. Like, I don't really yell very easily, especially if, like, especially if I know you're more viscerally affected by me than I am by you. Now I'm going to play it cool because it's only going to bother you more.
Yeah.
And there are people in this world, I would say maybe four of them in this world, that if you brought up my name, they would have such a visceral reaction to just hearing my name. And they'd be like, fuck, fuck. Fuck her.
Oh, I would say that there's a lot of like, people out there that would have that reaction to me.
No, there are definitely four people that come to mind that would absolutely have that reaction about me. Because I usually get along with, I'm pretty easy to get along with for the most part. But
for me, people either, and it's gotten better since I'm taking accountability for my mental health. But there was a long, long period of my life where you either loved me or hated me.
Yeah.
And there was no middle ground. Now I think I'm slowly getting into where there can be a middle ground. But the people that hated me, hated me.
Yeah. There are people who just basically, like, hate me because they just hate me. And I don't really give a fuck about those people
anyways.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care if you like me.
Our personalities are very blunt and, like, they can be off-putting, but I guess. But
as much as I can be a people pleaser and as much as I can be someone who really, like, hinges my opinion of myself on what other people might think of me at times, when you don't like me, I truly don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost, especially because the people, like, who don't like me, it almost becomes a point of pride.
Yeah.
I'm like, you kind of suck anyways, so I'm like, fine with that.
I used to, and I definitely still need validation, but it's external validation from friends because I trust their judgment. But for people that don't like me now, I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. Like, I don't really want to be friends with you anyways. Yeah.
I'm not everyone's cup of tea, and right. I'm and okay with that.
Now that I get that I'm older and, like, don't really have time for people, it's like the people that I see are the people I like.
Yeah. There was a woman who was originally my AA sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. We talk about her.
Yes. And when I very politely was like, hey, glad you're doing well, but I don't really see myself opening the door to a friendship again.
I love that.
Went, like, 4 seconds later, a certain friend of the show texted me and goes, so-and-so just wrote a rant on her Facebook page about you, like, basically called you out by name.
Oh,
and
my God.
Said that you are a racist, a misogynist, and a homophobe. And I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
Was she all, like, was she colored, gay, and...
She called herself queer.
Okay. I have difficulty understanding what that means.
I'm not advanced enough.
No,
whatever,
that's what
be whatever
is.
You want to be.
Because I'm bi, I don't, whatever. But then I knew a girl, or I worked with a girl who was engaged to a woman and then broke the engagement. So I thought she was bi. So she was like, actually I'm queer. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm not advanced enough to know the difference.
I don't know either.
So she identified as queer. So she took it as you being a homophobe because you didn't want to have a friendship with her.
No. Because she's a white girl from Champaign, Urbana. Your name's fucking Holly. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, that's my best friend's name. She is not...
Not that
the
Holly.
Same Holly. Although, my Holly doesn't listen to this, so... Yeah, fuck you, my Holly.
She became a very serious social justice warrior. And, she grew up in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, which is a suburb, and... She did not meet a black person until she was 12.
Dude, you grew up in fucking...
Yeah, and she took, toward the end of our friendship, was kind of the kiss of death for me. She took to, like, trying to correct my language and behavior about black people. And I was like, first of all, I don't even bring up black people unless... I just don't. Like, it's not a topic of conversation for me.
Why, like, there's
in
no
any real way.
Like, you, if you have conversations with black people and you're not like, yes, I was talking to this black person the other day. Like, but I don't, that's weird.
Yeah. So, but like, she would not talk about it. And so whatever little bit of an opinion I would share of like, hey, you know, this was my experience and whatever. She took that to mean that because I wasn't 100% adopting her value system that I was racist. I was homophobic and I was misogynistic because I don't really like women. And I go, I'm okay with them. So
all of your like closest friends are women.
Yeah, I have a few guy friends.
Well, I'm not saying you don't have, I mean, I have a guy friends too, but
my best friend's a woman. Yeah.
Like I hate, like I'm a guy's girl. I grew up a guy's girl cause I was a tomboy, but I'm still a girl's girl because my best and closest friends are girls.
I don't like women.
I don't either. Yeah, same. I'm surprised we're friends. Actually, no, I'm not. We're both the same fucking person.
But at the end of the day, like, all my worst moments, like, all the betrayal I've ever faced in my life has been at the hands of women.
Yep.
So
same. Same.
I have a hard time connecting with women. Men are just easier for me. And,
well, and
that's
also
that.
Our humor, our, like... Just our behaviors, they tend to go... Like, I have a guy sense of humor.
Yeah.
It's just
and
easier.
I think women are just fucking whiny about shit that they don't need to be whiny about. Like, get over it.
I mean, I definitely am probably that way.
No, you're not.
Oh, good.
But, like, just... I don't know. I'm a girl. I'm a girly girl. I have female friends, whatever. But, yeah, as a general rule, I don't necessarily...
I mean, I think we know. I think we all know that both of us aren't keen to most women.
I'm not the girl who's like, I just need a girl's night.
I am that way, but my girl's nights aren't girl's nights. They're like us going out and grabbing pizza and catching up because we haven't seen each other in months because we all have our own lives. But like my two best friends, Holly and Stephanie, I've known Holly since I was a month before I turned 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie since I was 6.
Yeah.
So, like, Yeah, they're girls. And like when we hang out, we like call it that just because it's like, make sure that your husbands aren't there. Like, I don't want to have couple time. I just want to be able to shit talk with you guys.
Yeah. And by the way, I have never said I want to have a girls' night, but I have said I just need to go dance. So
that's so much worse. I've said it too.
I feel like
I do want to. We should go dancing sometime.
I don't know. I don't know because it requires to go to a club, and I just
I don't think I could go to a club. I wish there was a place to dance. We should create a place for older people that isn't a club that we can just go and dance. Fuck shoes. Fuck bags. I just want to dance.
Yeah. I think that'd be a great dance.
Me too.
I like to shake
and
my
I don't want to be out with 18-year-olds at fucking club whatever.
Yeah.
But, so anyways.
That
pretty much wraps up this first half of the reunion.
Pretty much. Yeah, we talk about, like, Ramona's blog and where Ramona and Lou just start fighting like cats and dogs on
the crazy eyes. Which she has crazy eyes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's just mean. It's just, no, it's honest, Ramona. It's honest.
And that's to be continued.
Yeah.
That's that. That's what we got.
Reunions are hard. There's a lot of digressions from us on reunions.
Well, this is really only like our second time doing reunions.
But so. We did say.
Yeah.
Last time it was hard.
We do a lot of digressions.
Anyhow. People prefer the digressions.
Yeah.
I think we should reframe
the whole podcast just to talk shit. Just to
kind of like this is kind of the basis, but like when people say, see, like my close friends are like, well, I don't watch Bravo, so I don't want to, like, I wouldn't understand it. And I'm like, but we barely talk. So I think we should consider reframing how we.
Mm.
But anyways, I don't know. Just a thought. Put a pin in it.
Well, that's it for this week. Join us next week when we go into the second part of the reunion, heavily anticipating the start of season 3.
I can't fucking wait. I've been looking forward to this since day one.
Yep. And please check us out on www.andnowwesaidit.com, at And Now We Said It on our social media feeds. Do you want to do Kill Porter?
I mean, we do it every time, but it's going to be under construction, so I wouldn't.
Check out Kelly's new other podcast.
I'll put a link in our show notes.
Okay, perfect. And also projectcomeback.org. Please, please, please go to their website and consider donating. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.